Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're hearing about, I don't know if you guys heard about this, that, you know, the White Horse prophecy that was given like in 18 whatever, but Rick Joyner was talking about it with Morningstar Ministries, and we were learning, and if you've been listening to VFN Radio and watching VFN TV, which you can at VFNTV.com, you can watch it now, is that, you know, God will use, if God's people do not listen, if we don't listen to him, God will use other people who are not his people to be able to get our attention. And we talked about it earlier, you know, brace yourself and some other things that we talked about on the radio with the Assyrians, you know, watch Syria and the things that are going on. He says, I'll bring them down like a battering rod or something, and that I'll whistle from afar and they'll come in, which means this, you know, God will use whatever he wants to use, ever how he wants to do it, to accomplish his will. So somebody says, well, how could that be? I don't know. How could somebody, you know, prophesy and be accurate with a prophecy, you know, if they're not of God? Right. Well, you know, Jesus said it in Matthew 7:22-23. He said, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? He didn't say you didn't prophesy accurately. He said, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not drive out demons and perform miracles? And then Jesus said, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from you, evildoers. So it is possible for people to nail your life, but not accepted Jesus Christ, who was nailed to the cross. I mean, don't get caught up with gifts that people can, and it could be accurate, and you can use that word because it's an accurate word. And God was speaking to you through that person, possibly, you know, and he's in line up with God's words. But don't be looking, it's a whoring spirit that runs after a prophet. You understand that, you know, you could be picking up some cans and somebody could prophesy to you. You never know, right?
Yeah.
Anyway. But, you know, God has a way of getting our number and talking to us. And if you're rightly related to the fullness of the body, which is the fivefold gifts are there, you're going to have all types of things happening all the time. And we literally swim in the gifts of seeing what's going on. Children, you know, prophesy. And, but it's, just want to, so the question is White Horse Prophecy. We want to hear this. So understand that the Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, Verse 22-23, that you can prophesy accurately and not even know Jesus. And Paul tells us that you can even preach another Jesus, you know, and that, but he calls them the you know, angels of, you know, no wonder it says they come as disguised as angels of light, but no wonder his servants, Satan's servants, are called servants of righteousness, something like that. I know you can look for another Jesus in the VFN Torch and highlights, and I'm just trying to focus on the White Horse Prophecy. So understand, just because somebody says Jesus, I mean, and most religions acknowledge the name Jesus, but they don't acknowledge God Jesus. They don't acknowledge him as the Son of God. Only one, Christians mean Christ follower. You know, a Muslim means I follow Muhammad as the prophet. A Mormon means I follow the Angel Mormon, the Book of Mormon. So it's to say a Mormon is a Christian is saying, like, I'm following Mormon and I'm following Christ. Which one are you going to follow? You know, you got to pick out which one you're going to follow.
Right.
But in the White Horse Prophecy, it talks about a Mormon at some time in America's history. And I want you to hear Rick Joyner talk about it, which means that, you know, you cannot be of God, or you can be, but you cannot be of God, but be used by God. I mean, you cannot be with God, but you can be used by God.
Right.
You know, God will often use things out of control, we always say, to bring us in control, right?
Sure.
Because there's no way you could be using this person. He's like, you know, actually, it's revealing everything in your flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Pat can't relate probably to that, but, you know, you know what I'm saying. But listen, let's listen to Rick Joyner talk about the White Horse Prophecy.
Now, we also, you know, on this program, we do want to talk about current events, and I'm trying to give you a biblical kingdom perspective on those events. And one of the things that's starting to be talked about quite a bit in the news today is the white horse prophecy that that Joseph Smith gave, who was the founder of the Mormon movement, the Church of Latter-day Saints. And of course, he is considered, you know, not to have been Christian. That whole doctrine, the Book of Mormon and all, is, you know, it was an adding to Scripture, which we're clearly told in the end of the Book of Revelation, you don't do that. Nothing else stands with the book, the Bible, the canon Scripture. Nothing should be. But this white horse prophecy is being talked about in the secular media. It's being talked about all over. Joseph Smith, who did prophesy a lot of things, some of which came to pass. And we even see in Scripture what Paul the Apostle told Timothy. The Cretan false prophets said some things that were true, were accurate. And he said, therefore, do these, you know, it's an amazing thing there. But yeah, there, you know, someone could be a false prophet and still get accurate prophecies. You know, I have met some people I consider to be false prophets. They were preaching another gospel. They were they had perverted and twisted the Scriptures and things that you don't do. They were, in some cases, leading people to worship. I felt another God. Things like this that clearly identify a false prophet. And yet they would have things that were very accurate. Now, were they just hearing from the devil? Not necessarily. There are things that, you know, are picked up in the spiritual realm. And we're going to do some teaching on that in the months to come, on prophetic revelation, because this is an increasingly important thing that we understand. That's why we see in Acts 2:17 and 18, in the last days, when the Lord pours out his Spirit, the result of pouring out his Spirit is dreams, visions, and prophecy. He says that specifically about the last days. So we know if we're getting close to the end of the age, we can start expecting dreams, visions, and prophecy, and it's by his Spirit. And so he's given us that because in these days, we're going to need that kind of direction and guidance from him. And we've got to understand these things. But this, you know, the source, Joseph Smith, gives everyone understandably real concern about this prophecy. But let me tell you what the prophecy is. The White Horse Prophecy, it's called. And supposedly given by Joseph Smith, I think it was in 1847. I know it was not written or not published until I believe it was 1893, but it was in the 1890s that it was first published. And the Mormon Church has disavowed this. They said, we don't know if it's true. We don't even know if it's from Joseph Smith or someone else, and just attributed to him. And yeah, many of the Gnostic Gospels and all kinds of other books and writings came out in the early church history that were claiming to be from people they really weren't. And so the Mormon Church is saying, we really cannot authenticate this as having come from Joseph Smith. That's their position on it. It is not a doctrine of the church, and it's not a prophecy that they accept from the Mormon Church. But it does say, in a time, this is the prophecy, when our Constitution, our U.S. Constitution, is hanging by a thread, it's like the thinnest of threads, then a Mormon is going to arise to save the Constitution and save our republic. And that the it would be during a time when the Mormons are in a time of incredible financial prosperity. Now, one thing is for sure, some of the most successful businessmen in our nation right now are Mormons. They are in a time of incredible prosperity. Many are thinking, well, Romney, could he be that white horse? And others have said, Glenn Beck, he was Mormon. He was converted to Mormonism, or others who have really stood up for the Constitution. I don't know. I know this is out there. I am just praying about it. I personally was very concerned and disappointed that, you know, about the whole Republican field of candidates. I did not feel that there, you know, any of them, you know, really had what it was going to take for these times. Romney is supposedly, you know, very isolated, a small group, no conservatives really in his inner circle, serious conservatives. But I do appreciate what he did as head of Bain Capital and what he did as a head of the Olympics. And one mentality we need to be, I know everybody would love to have a conservative evangelical Christian as president, but, you know, I think when we've had that, it hasn't worked out too well. We thought Jimmy Carter, because he was a Christian and a Baptist and an evangelical, supposedly devoted to the gospel, my opinion, he's the worst president we had in the 20th century. One of the worst, for sure. And just brought terrible things upon our country. And, you know, you can question George Bush. I mean, I think he really was a devoted believer, Christian, and did many great things, but also opened the door to many terrible things that we're reaping the consequences of right now. Now, I'm not blaming Bush on all of our economic problems as the Obama administration's tended to be. I think they've just made them worse. They could have been fixed easily by now, but things that were done have just made them worse. There are other issues, though. But I am personally, I don't know. I just don't know about Romney. I have been interested in this white horse prophecy. And I've been interested in that, you know, one thing about the Mormon church. I felt that I was shown, I wrote about this in the Vision of the Harvest that I was given 25 years ago, that they do have a mixture. Many of them really believe in Jesus Christ as their salvation, that only the cross is for the atonement. There's nothing. And but they have all this other stuff in the Book of Mormon and Joseph Smith's prophecies and all that. The best I could say, but I have read through it. It's been a long time. It was weird. It was really weird. And some of it I thought really bad. Some of it got my attention. Said, that may be true. I don't know. There is a mixture. But in my opinion, the Mormons and some of the other, what we would, you know, whether you call them fringe groups or outright heresies or sects or whatever, but like the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Lord showed me a great revival coming upon those fringe groups or those that we thought had a mixture, and God was going to use them mightily, but they were going to come to Jesus and worship Jesus. And they were going to be delivered. And we all need deliverance from stuff. We're all getting free of stuff. But that just as the Samaritans in Scripture were some of the most responsive to the gospel. I mean, think about the woman at the well. You know, one woman gets it, runs into town. The whole city comes out to see Jesus. And then they all say, listen, we now believe in him, not just because of your words, because we've seen for ourselves. They had enough care to come out and see him and hear for themselves. And then they believed, the entire city believed in Jesus. Then later in Acts 8, you see Philip, the evangelist, going to Samaria. The entire city comes out to hear him. And the entire city is touched with the gospel. Those who had a mixture, and the Samaritans had a mixture of Judaism and all kinds of other weird stuff, they did. But they were the most responsive in Scripture to the gospel. So I don't give up on any group. I reach out to them. I thought the most wonderful book signing I ever had, I didn't know I was doing a book signing in a Mormon bookstore. This is 20 years ago, 25 years ago, maybe. I know that book, The Harvest, really touched the Mormons. One of the biggest bookstores I've ever been in. One of the nicest people. I think everyone, they had lines around the block, people wanting to come in and get their book signed. And almost every one of them brought me a gift. They brought me dinners. They brought me all kinds of other stuff. Some of the nicest people I ever met, and some of the hungriest. believe God for a mighty move of God among the Mormons, among the Jehovah's Witnesses, and everyone else is going to hear the gospel in these times.
This is such a good, good perspective. You hear, you know, Rick Joyner talk about the White Horse Prophecy, and, you know, as we said earlier, and you can see on the Beef and Torch, that, you know, we can't put God in a box. I mean, God is God. In addition to that, you know, there is only one category. There's two categories of people, despite all the religious expressions. There's two categories. Those who have made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life,
mm-hmm.
and those who haven't.
Right.
There is no other category. This is the two categories. There is no, like, and all these forms of religion and men's attempts to do what's right, and the enemy's constantly trying to twist and deceive us and to turn us, and God delivers us from those things, is that, you know, when we talk about, you know, our Mormons, Christians, is something we talk about in the BFN Torch. You know, the thing is that if they have left the, you know, following Mormon and now follow Jesus Christ, of course, you know, mm-hmm. of course, you know, and they made Jesus the Lord of their life, as in everybody else, because there's only two categories. I mean, that's where right. we come from, you know.
That's
so
right.
if you're one of like, you guys, you're two-sided. Well, yeah, we are. You either know Jesus or you don't.
That's right.
But God loves you, whichever side you're on. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't love you more because you made the right choice. He's still in love with both sides up until the last moment. And so whether it comes in Catholicism, or whether you're a Baptist, whether you're a Mormon, whether you're a Muslim, whether you're a Hindu, whether you're a Buddhist, all of you, as they would say up north, God loves y'all. But there's only one way to God, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. So when we talk about, you know, the Book of Mormon or the Quran or different things like that, understand that God still loves you if you have not yet made the decision, but any moment you can, and God will receive you. And he loves us all equally
mm-hmm.
and a lot. You know, and I thought it was pretty cool because mm-hmm. this White Horse Prophecy, you know, it kind of looks like Constitution's hanging in the balance, you know, we're just trying to figure out, you know, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, you just don't know, but you gotta ponder the idea that even though in Matthew, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7 that some people that don't know him can actually deliver an accurate prophecy, don't throw out the accurate prophecy just because the person who delivered it, based on your present understanding, and only God knows, boils down to what their heart's decision is, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater if the prophecy is right. It's right. Like,
how many times has that happened?
Like, yeah. Oh my
goodness.
You want
to get a word from there, but I tell you what.
Well, I know somebody that's dead today that was so caught up in the accuracy of their ability to prophesy that they thought they were their gift.
Mm.
And not only can someone get deceived by somebody who has the gift of prophecy, for example, and they automatically assume they're right because the gift was right, even the individual themselves who has the ability to prophesy accurately can think that they can that nothing's, because they are their gift.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not your gift, by the way. And they found that out on the last day of judgment. Jesus says many people are going to come to me that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not use our gifts? And he's not going to say, no, you didn't use your gifts. And they said, and they even told Jesus, he said, and he goes, I never knew you, away from me, evildoers, which means you can have accurate use of a gift and still be an evildoer, and Jesus don't know you, but you can choose him. So don't determine who you are, who somebody is based on their gifts. Spend some time with them, and you know them by their fruit. Mm-hmm. And that's all and that only comes through an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. They accused Jesus of driving out the devil. He says, you know, he's driving out demons, and they said, you know, you're driving out Satan by Satan. They called him Satan. They called him mm-hmm. Beelzebub.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, this is what he said to the Pharisees who did not even accept Jesus, the Messiah. He says, if I drive them out by the devil, who do you drive them out by?
Mm-hmm.
Which means the Pharisees who didn't know God,
right,
who had a desire and somewhat, you know, wanted to follow God at the time, but they weren't. He was looking at them. He called them Satan. They still were driving out demons. So your ability to minister, sir, ma'am, your ability to prophesy, your ability to speak rhythmically and articulately, you know, your ability to when you lay hands on somebody and they get sick, that's not you. That's the name of Jesus. There's power. Right. The name of Jesus is so powerful that evildoers can use it. Even the sons of Sceva were using it for a little bit, you know, and then, of course, then the devil turned on them. But but in the whole thing we're saying here, or what I'm saying this morning, is it kind of looks like this prophecy could very well be an accurate potential. I mean, it'd be nice for the Constitution to be held on to and not to lose it, you know, and we'll spend the next 100 years apologizing for what we didn't do with it. And if God would entrust us, you know, to, you know, we will not squander the First Amendment as we have squandered it and by God's grace. And maybe God will use America towards Israel in the last days to be there to help usher in, you know, the spirit of Elijah preparing the way for the Lord. I don't know. But I know when I was there in Israel ministering to several businessmen that were there, it was beautiful, man. It was like this big picture window was behind me, and there was like a half circle of all these businessmen there in Israel, and outside the picture window was the Mount of Transfiguration. I was right behind. Is that beautiful or what? It's like, oh my goodness. But one of them began to prophesy, and they prophesied that God would use this to bring unity in Israel. You know, what we're doing, which is exciting. You know, we want to be a part of what God is doing there.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.